And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, even Tennessee and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Well, hey, listen, before I even go any further, let me just go ahead and catch up on some text. Otherwise, they will run away from me. I can tell already that John from Huntsville, he says, I like meatloaf. I don't like it with ketchup on it. Just good knowledge.
Give me meat.
I didn't hear you, Mike.
I know. just give me the meat.
Just give me the meat.
Yeah, just give me the meat.
But it's a meatloaf. Now, I will say this. Now, there's going to be some old school military guys that are going to recognize what I'm about to say.
All right.
Now, I may like meatloaf, which is beef, right? But there was a thing that used to be in the MREs called a ham and chicken loaf. Huh. Listen, I don't understand. Why was there a ham and chicken loaf? Why would they? Who decided to put ham and chicken in a pot and scrunch it all up and squish it and then put it into a tinfoil packet and call it good? What in God's name were they thinking when they said, how do we keep troop morale up and feed the troops too at the same time? I don't know. How about a ham and chicken loaf? I don't know, but it was there for years.
I don't know what to say about that because in my head, I'm like, oh.
The camera should really be on your face right now because you're like puckering up on this one. I don't know. Some of you old guys, some of you black boot army guys, the ones who used to have to put kiwi on your boots, you remember ham and chicken loaf. And by the way, that was one of the ones that I would typically trade out whenever I got an opportunity. Anybody want a ham and chicken loaf? No takers. Crickets. Where's my crickets? Are you ready? Ham and chicken loaf. Anybody want a ham? No ham. Okay. Never mind. Who's got Tabasco? That's the way it went. What else we got in here? Now that I've just had I just chased a total rabbit trail. Rough Leanne from Huntsville. How many podcasts currently? Oh, that's a nice question. Thank you, Leanne. Rough Leanne. What are we up to, Boom Shakalaka? The podcast, I'm gonna predict you're at 169.7. What are you, 169,700?
168.3.
Oh, I was close.
You're close.
Okay. It's 1,300 off. But
by next week, we'll be at that.
That's still smoking hot, though.
Yeah, it is.
All right. What's our second biggest audience?
We have, let's see here. Well, all right. So Virginia and Tennessee.
What?
Yep.
So we've left Florida and California behind.
Yeah. Florida is like in the running for fifth right now.
Florida's busy dealing with a hurricane.
Yeah. So.
Okay. That's what
it
is.
They got a hurricane coming.
That's right. Yep. Yeah,
it's California,
big doings.
Everybody's just moving.
Everybody moved out of California, so yeah. Roughly, Ann, thank you for asking that question. I appreciate it. James from Harvest, am I in the same place? He goes, Boomer. Oh, you already answered him. I see. James from Harvest said, Boomer's never had my meatloaf with my homemade barbecue sauce, no ketchup. Ick, LOL. But your tongue will slap your face to death trying to get that stuff, bud. Brian from Huntsville. Boomer does not like meatloaf. See, I've started something here. I'm sorry, man.
Something.
I apologize. Boomer does not like meatloaf for crying out loud. Also, cage match if football pick has a tie. Cage match. I like
cage
it.
Cage match.
we appear to have a tie between, I don't know, pick one. Rough Leanne and Boomer. Two men enter. One man leaves. All right. I'm just having fun today. I'm just playing. Dallison from Madison. Says, dang, Phil, your monologue was strong. What a powerful message of inspiration. Definitely gets the vote out. Not voting is the same as giving up. Not an option with our current state of affairs. Thank you, Allison. Appreciate you. Ryan from Hazel Green says, tiebreaker, closest guess at the score for the national championship wins.
There's a thought. I like it.
There's a thought. And in honor of the recent passing of the host of...
Wheel of Fortune, right? Not Wheel of Fortune.
Let's make a deal.
That's it.
Bob Barker. We say it's the closest without going over. There you go.
There it is.
Jimmy from Moulton, Yahoo needs to get on with it. There you go. Okay. Jeff from Indiana says, at first I was thinking you was talking about the singer meatloaf, and I wasn't going to say what's wrong with that, but I was going to say what's wrong with that boy. Tony from Piedmont sent me something to look at, but I'm not going to right now, but thank you, Tony from Piedmont. We appreciate you. Oh, he also said, only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. In relation to my monologue. Ken from Athens, the most common way Satan controls people is to get them to do nothing. He said, I'm always amazed at how you can rally me to fight for our country and ultimately our God-given rights. That story affects me so much. I love that account of how much of the history of the world can be changed by so few. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate that very much. I'm wrapping this up here. Peg Leg Dave checking in. He says, I make meatloaf with onions, garlic, and green chilies. Makes your tongue beat your lips off. There you go.
Sounds good, actually.
I'm saying. And Price is Right is the show. Tim from Madison clarified me. Thank you so much. All right, enough of that. You ready? Here's the deal. We're about to kick off with some things that are happening in your backyard right around the state of Alabama. Stuff you got to know. Important stuff. Sometimes it's good stuff. It's called home fries. Cooking up a batch of home fries. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say that whereas Boomer does not like meatloaf, that I am a big fan of Auburn football, which he can give me a ration for whenever he feels like it. He's just having a good time today. And having said that, interesting story, Boomer. I don't know if you saw this. Story off of Yellowhammer News. Dateline yesterday. Jordan-Hare Stadium is in the lineup of the nationally historic stadiums to be addressed by Congress as nationally historic.
That's pretty cool, actually.
That actually is pretty cool. Built in 1939. It's had five major expansions over the years. It now seats 87,000, makes it the 10th largest on-campus stadium in the NCAA. I didn't realize it was the 10th largest overall.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. And of course, that monitor they've got at the end of the stadium is, like, unbelievable. I need that in my den. No, I need a den that can hold that.
A den, you can have it. Yeah.
But the story from Yellowhammer, written by Grayson Everett, starts off, sometimes the world of politics and sports intersect, like the recent effort to keep college athletics fair by regulating name, image, likeness, that's the NIL stuff, and Congress getting in the game with a new caucus to preserve and improve stadiums. It says four SEC universities are now listed on the 18 historic stadiums. You got Auburn's Jordan-Hare, LSU's Tiger Stadium, Ole Miss's Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, and then Mississippi State's Davis-Wade Stadium. The historic stadium caucus will bring together a bipartisan team of officials to work on preserving the legacy of these venues while also enhancing their capabilities so they continue to host world-class sporting events. That's just, I don't know that I ever expected to see that.
I mean, I like it.
I'm digging it.
Completely.
What I don't want to see, though, is tax dollars being used to improve the stadium. Now, oh, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and meatloaf. All right, here we go.
That and meatloaf.
I'm gonna wear the meatloaf thing out, bro.
That's all
I'm sorry.
It's gonna be today.
It's Meatloaf Tuesday, apparently. Here's big doings for you. I like this one. This is good. In case you didn't know, the Republicans did do something Republican this past session in the state legislature. They did cut the grocery tax. Didn't cut it in one big whack. They cut it in phased increments. The very first increment is, as of this coming Friday, which is September 1st, your taxes will be a penny less per dollar as you buy groceries. And that may not sound like much, I'll be honest with you, but it's something. And it's something when you consider that grocery taxes, just the sales tax on groceries alone, fund something like $600 million to the education budget every year. And so they just took a chunk of that off.
Well, I'm glad they did.
Yeah,
I mean, it should have happened. And also maybe sometime they'll go down a little lower or take the gas tax or something. You know, at least it started.
Yeah.
So that's a plus in my book.
Perfect. And I agree with you. The reality is, yeah, it's going to go down a penny this year, a penny next year. And then depending upon if the budget is still considered to be sound, they can continue to go down a little bit. There's 4 cents on the dollar that comes out of state. And then anything else you pay sales tax-wise comes out of your locals. They didn't touch locals because that wasn't their role.
Local, right.
But we were one of only 11 states left in the nation that even taxed groceries at all, because most of them realized the poorest people among us, that's a tax. We're taxing everybody. So it was a way to do something for everybody. State Senator Andrew Jones, who's the one who actually took my place in the Senate, and Representative Danny Garrett from Trustful, they were the ones who sponsored the bill. It drops by a penny on September 1st, and it goes down again the following year. And then if things stay the way they're supposed to, it'll continue to potentially go down. State Department of Revenue says the state sales tax on food will be reduced, and you will wind up seeing that effective immediately this weekend. So get your tax cut. If you're going to buy milk, wait a day. Save that penny. But, I mean, think about it. For every $10 you spent, you just save a dime. you buy $100 worth of food, you just saved a buck. So it may not feel like a lot, but it's supposed to be happening that way. What else have I got before the break? Let me see this. Hear about this one. News from around your state. Cooking up a batch of home fries. You were so quick on that button. Cooking up a batch of home fries here. Congressman Mike Rogers, who represents District, what is that, 3, I believe? House District 3 in our Alabama congressional delegation. That kind of, if you're looking at a map, Congressman Rogers hails from the Anniston area, and his district runs down the right side, the east side of the state. He is one of the senior members of Congress overall. He chairs the powerful House Armed Services Committee. So that's a major coup for Alabama to have one of our congressional delegation chairing that major committee. That being said, he ain't playing with the Space Command crap. He ain't playing at all. And Congressman Rogers, using his position as chair of House Armed Services, has requested the Government Accountability Office investigate the basing process for Space Command. He specifically wants to know what changed. He wants to know why everything was leaning to Huntsville, every study said Huntsville, and then for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody else, the process was disregarded and the president chose to make it, oh, look, Colorado. He wants to know what changed, and he says the public deserves an independent review to understand how this basing process went awry and failed to follow transparent and repeatable steps which can garner trust in the U.S. in the final basing decision. And he says, by the way, basing decisions have to be uniform, and he's not wrong. He's the chair of House Armed Services. So even if we were not in the running, even if, I mean, everybody's going, oh, he's just fighting for Alabama. Well, of course he is. He's part of the Alabama congressional delegation. But at the same time, he chairs House Armed Services. If Alabama had not been, what if it had been Tennessee and Colorado? What if it had been Vermont and Colorado? He would owe it to the people of this nation because of his chairmanship to find out why the processes were not uniform, because what's happened now is nobody knows what to expect in future. I mean, we spend a lot of money on prep. We spend a lot of money and time on doing studies. We spend a lot of resources for, you know, public resources, only to have it discounted. And so if that's not the process anymore, then how about you tell us what it is? So in the future, other states will know what to expect. Well, he's not wrong, and I did see, by the way, right before the show started, that the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, has agreed to conduct said investigation. That is a big, hairy deal. And I'll be honest with you, I think that Senator Katie Britt sent out a tweet today, and she said flat out, this ain't done. It's going to be in Huntsville eventually, and I believe it probably will. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. We're in the middle of Dipper number one. Talk about stuff in your backyard. Batch of home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're cooking up a batch of home fries for the day. Get that button. There we go. Nice. Hey, by the way, just noticed, speaking of home fries, that the Yellowhammer News just put up a story like in the last few minutes, I believe. It came up just a little bit ago. Regarding our interview, boom, with Senator Gudger, who was here in studio with us this past week.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was a great interview. I really enjoyed having him in the studio, too, because it gave us a chance to, you know, to really kind of take the conversation down the road a little better. And So Senator Gudger actually chairs the committee that I used to chair when I was in the Senate, and great conversation about economic development. And so we're pleased to have him in studio. And Yellowhammer News just posted the story. You can find it at yellowhammernews.com, I reckon. So there's that. All right. In home fries, one of the things that I am most proud of, and this comes from our friends at 1819 News, is the fact that Alabama is, you know, leading the way. And by the way, there's going to be several stories in my Adventures in Woke World segment regarding the transgender cult-like agenda that's out there. What they're doing to kids. You know, yesterday I did my monologue. If you heard it, if you didn't, you can catch it on our podcast. But yesterday's monologue was called Kids Are a Gift from God. And what we're doing to kids, what we're allowing to be done by kids, to kids, is just, to me, something that we're going to be held to account for. And we should, as a culture. I recognize that this audience, by and large, does not at all cotton to what we're talking about with transgender treatments on kids and changing them forever with hormone treatments and even surgeries. But I am proud of the fact, though, that Alabama has taken a stand on that. You know, I'll call balls and strikes. When I see something I don't like in the legislature, I'll tell you. At the same time, when I see something I do like, I'll tell you. One of the things I am very proud of is that last year, actually, 2022, the Alabama legislature passed a law banning those treatments. And we most recently had the Supreme Court say, it's okay. I take it back. It was the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals said, it's okay. We can, with that law can be enforced right now. Because just like always, we passed the law banning the treatments and the surgeries. Immediately, liberal activists like the ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center and other screamers got involved in, and I just called them screamers, but that's what they are. Anyway, got involved, sued the state. The judge, Judge Lyles Burke, who I sort of know Lyles Burke. I mean, I've met him, and he's a decent guy. He's a Republican, but he's a federal district court judge. He did enjoin the enforcement of the law as to the hormones. He allowed that to go forward. Keep treating with the hormones. Stop the surgeries for now. But the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals said, no, Judge Burke, you know what? That law was duly passed, and it's enforceable. So right now, the case against the merits of the law will go forward. But in the meantime, no more hormone treatments, no more surgeries on kids. Cornell Law professor William Jacobson recently did a podcast with the folks over at 1819 News. Story here on 1819 came out yesterday about his comments. He is basically saying the state of Alabama is a leg up. He says that basically Alabama, he says, I think very wisely has said that for children that you cannot give these life-altering, irreversible, in most cases, and very damaging medications for the purpose of dealing with gender identity issues. He says sometimes those drugs can be used for true medical conditions. It's unusual. It's rare, but it happens. He said, but if you have a medical condition that requires those drugs, they can still be given in Alabama, but you can't give them because you have a confused 9-year-old unsure of what they believe about themselves. Jacobson went on to, he's a Cornell law professor, by the way. He went on to liken the drugs given to minors as a form of child abuse. He said, you may have a constitutional right to raise your child in a particular religion. You don't have the constitutional right to do physical damage to your child. And that's what's been happening. It's just unbelievable to me. He said it's a bizarre ideology and that American physicians have become corrupted. I do not disagree. So much is going on right now, even in the medical practices, that doctors don't feel like they are given the leeway to actually be doctors. I mean, treat the basic injuries, sure. But what's happening now is so many medical practices and doctors are owned by corporations, massive corporations, that if the corporation has a narrative, the doctors wind up becoming bound. And then they have to either push against the narrative and lose their jobs, or they have to just basically go out on their own. Well, the bottom line is this. Horrible things happen. We've already got European countries that are saying no more of this stuff, no more of this transgender treatments. It's not gender affirming, it's gender destroying. And what he's saying here is, Alabama, this Cornell law professor, William Jacobson, Alabama, good on you. And he's calling us up for it. I appreciate it. All right, listen, I got a few more home fries. When we get back from the break, we'll talk about it. Stuff happening right here in your backyard. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative, just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on Taco Tuesday. We're gonna go with it. Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Does that mean we're having tacos tonight? I got to call Charlene.
I can have tacos any night.
You could.
I like tacos.
But not meatloaf.
But not
meatloaf. All right. Hey, listen, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. Going to wrap it up here in this segment. Home fries is where we are. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Cooking up them home fries all day long for us. So let me give you some background on something. Something a lot of people don't know. Every time you see an ABC store, a liquor store, an ABC store, it is a state-owned liquor store. It's the Alabama Beverage Control Board's store, ABC store. That means that everybody who runs a cash register, stocks a shelf, or handles the goods inside there is a state employee. Can you imagine? They're on state benefits. They have everything that a state employee would have for having an hourly wage. And it's unreal. Here's the other thing. It is one of the few examples out there where, for reasons that I've been opposed to for years, it is one of the few examples out there where, for some reason, the state is allowed to compete with the private sector. I mean, think about it. Where else do we have state-owned grocery stores? Do we have, state-owned gyms? Maybe, but all I'm saying is this. Why is the state in the business of selling retail alcohol? It's a numbers game, to be honest with you. And I do appreciate, you know, yesterday on the show we had State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur. He's had a burr under his saddle for years about this. Every year when I was in the legislature, he would drop in a bill to abolish the ABC board, and one of the few people who would co-sponsor it with him was me. Because I get it. There's no, well, at the very least, do away with their retail sales. Now, I understand that the ABC board may have an enforcement mechanism. They may make sure that alcohol is not being sold to minors, that kind of stuff. But why are they in the process? Why are they in the business of selling alcohol? Why is that? Well, let's see. There were always some shady things that were happening. Did you know that the law in Alabama says that the state cannot own the facilities in which the liquor stores are run? Why? I don't know. It's a leasehold. It's required to be a lease. Oh, so that means somebody else out there gets a permanent government lease at overpriced lease rent. Huh. Who do you suppose? Well, the long-held rumor was that if you were to dig deep into the various LLCs that own all the ABC store properties, you might find some former state legislators who own leases on ABC stores who would never, ever vote to see that go away. Now, I'm giving you what's been known as the worst-kept secret in Montgomery. I don't have a piece of paper in my hand that says, and here they are, but I'm going to tell you right now, the rumor has long been that that's the case. And you'll find, too, by the way, every once in a while, you'll see it. The ABC board will shut down a store and move down the road to a brand new ABC store facility for reasons that no one can figure out, because all they did was move a half mile away. What's the purpose? Maybe somebody with influence built a store and got the lease. It's a freaking mess. It really is. So another thing that's happening right now, story here on Alabama Daily News. The alcohol board, ABC board, seeks a new warehouse, new offices, and the members of the board are questioning the cost. $100 million. Boomer, it caught your attention on that one. $100 million is the estimated cost of building a new ABC agency warehouse so they can store all the alcohol that they then sell in competition. And, oh, by the way, deliver out It's almost, as the article points out, almost every bottle of liquor sold in Alabama flows through the current Montgomery warehouse. And according to the RFP posted on the board's website last week, the agency's operations have nearly doubled in the past 10 years, outgrowing the current 140,000 square foot warehouse space that they have in Gunter Industrial Park. One of the board members, the administrator, Curtis Stewart, says, and Michael Bedford, I'm sorry, the project manager, says, we're to the point where we're busting at the seams. And state law says ABC has to lease their facilities. So that means somebody in the RFP is going to build a huge warehouse and then lease it back to the state for $120,000 a month. Does this feel like waste, fraud, and abuse? Boomer suddenly is going in the warehouse business. The board pays $120,000 a month for the warehouse and administration building, as well as four smaller warehouse spaces it's rented the last decade as the demand for space grew. I'm telling you, the whole thing is messed up. And oh, by the way, the markup on liquor when you run through the state like this, the markup on liquor is 35%. A $10 bottle would cost $22.33 after that markup. The state's 56% liquor tax. I mean, it's unreal, y'all. It's, and I, by the way, I'm not like we need our Ripple to be cheaper. I'm not advocating that. What I'm just saying is, this is one of the situations where you have to look at it and go, why the heck does this keep on going? Well, the ABC board is it's like a mini mafia. I mean, good luck trying to get something done when you've got a bill that changes the ABC board. They come in, and they hire their lobbyists. They're a state agency with lobbyists. It's crazy. All that to say, $100 million for a warehouse. I'm pretty sure we could fund school choice on that. Just saying. But they're separate budgets, Phil. I don't care. Money's fungible. You know it. All right. Hey, my buddy Larry Stutz, who's in the Alabama State Senate. Larry Stutz, the senator from Tuscumbia County here in northwest Alabama. He's also a physician. In fact, I'll be honest with you, it's kind of cool. Larry Stutz is one of the few people I know who is both a licensed veterinarian and a licensed OBGYN. He's a physician. So basically, he can birth your people and birth your cows. He can do both. Larry Stutz, being, you know, of the medical background, he responded to questions from 1819 News. Separate story came out today, talking about the fact that, okay, we're seeing an increase in COVID around the nation. Technically, it's an increase, but it's not scary. Says there's 12,000 hospitalizations around the nation as of mid-August. 12,000. We have a population of 350 million. Anyway, I'm not trying to downplay it because COVID does hurt some people, but the reality is this. Larry Stutz is saying he's seeing people wearing masks already, and he's not sure why. He also said he hopes those in charge of Alabama don't have the same reactions they did in 2020. His words, Dr. Stutz, Senator Stutz, says, if you want to wear a mask, wear one, but I don't want any mandates. He said, I'm hopeful people learned that it didn't work last time. It just ran its course. He said the original deal was wear a mask and social distance to flatten the curve. That didn't occur. Then he says there was get a vaccine and you can't get it, and that wasn't true. And then if you get a vaccine, you can't transmit to other people. That wasn't true. So it ended up, this different variant ended up running its course over a couple years. He said, I hope that state health officer and others learned that the mandates didn't work last time. No reason to do it again. He said, if COVID does make a resurgence, the guidelines are pretty simple. He said, if you're sick, stay home, wash your hands, use common sense. It's what we've done for generations. These are things we know that help reduce the spread of infections, and the things we did last time didn't work, so don't be stupid and do them again. There you go. Man's a doctor and a legislator, and I'm glad. Last couple things here in my list. I'll just tell you. I'll tell you what. I'll just pick one. So Senator Tommy Tuberville, still hanging on, man, and the military has no idea what to do with him. The DOD is like, what do we do here? Here's what you do, Secretary Austin, Secretary of Defense Austin. Go ahead and start running your confirmations. Tell Chuck Schumer, just go ahead and start running the confirmations. You just won't be able to run them fast. Just run them under the regular order of business. But he won't. But in the meantime, polling conducted in August shows that support from Alabama voters for Senator Tommy Tuberville's holds on nominations is reaching, you know, epic level favorability. Story on Yellowhammer came out yesterday. Tuberville's holding things up. 45% of respondents back Tuberville's position. 33% do not back it. That leaves some undecided. But what we're saying there is the vast majority of those who were polled, it's favorable towards Tuberville and what he's doing. And by the way, in polling land, when you've got 45, 40, and 33 against and some undecided, you can just imagine that's a pretty decent poll, actually. Tuberville's doing what he needs to do. He is. He's doing the right thing. It's not hurting our military at all. In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to come right back, and we will move to one of our favorite segments of all, Adventures in Woke World. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.